Hello, and welcome to Ask the Vet. I am Beth Broom, your host of the show, and we are on every third Thursday. And today's guest is Dr. Liz Foster. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Beth.
How are you today?
I'm great.
Happy Thursday.
Yeah.
And so I just want to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. Please feel free to give us a call here in the studio at 963-2976. Any animal-related questions Dr. Foster would love to answer for you today. All right. So, Dr. Foster, I wanted to, and Dr. Foster is a small animal doctor at Alpine Animal Hospital here in the Valley. So we're going to talk primarily small animal today, although if you have a horse or any question, I'm sure you can at least ask and we'll give it a whirl. All right. So I wanted to start with cats. We do a lot of talking about dogs here on this program. I don't know why. I guess I just favor the dog, but I do own a cat, by the way. I'm a very good cat owner.
She's a really good cat owner.
Thank you. As are you, Liz.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. We both have older cats, and I wanted to discuss, you know, risks of allowing your cat to go outside. I know it's a bit of a controversial topic for the bird people, which you were just listening to that bird thing show, and you know, it's a risk for the bird population is the argument from the bird society people. And I don't know what that is. What's the name of that society?
I don't really know.
Maybe there's a society.
I
should Google that.
I don't remember.
It's not aviary, but it's Audubon.
Audubon.
Jeez, I'm on it today. It's enough coffee and I'll get anything right. The Audubon Society obviously argues that outdoor cats are bad for the bird population. Mm-hmm. Short of that, what are the risks of allowing your cat to be an outdoor cat? Indoor, outdoor, should I say?
Yeah. So, you know, the risk of going outside is injury. Mm-hmm. So we worry about kitty cats getting into fights with other cats, which is one of the more common things that we see.
Yeah.
What happens is they'll get into a fight. They can scratch, mostly bite one another. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that heals up. Mom and dad think it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, it's not fine.
Yeah.
That will heal up, and then more than likely it will turn into an abscess. And that's when you come and see us.
Right.
An abscess is a pocket of infection that we have to, a lot of the time, sedate the animal, clean it out, put them on antibiotics. Mm-hmm.
It's quite painful, isn't it?
Yeah. And it can be quite a pain for the owners, too, to have to manage at home.
Right.
And so that's one of the risks. Another risk is just injury from other animals, or worse than an injury. A kitty cat can get eaten, killed,
yes.
Hurt,
hit by car.
There's so many things, and smaller cats can actually be picked up by birds of prey.
Right. Back to the bird
raptors,
situation.
Raptors, the whole bird thing.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like hit by car, snatched up by somebody who is not the owner. I mean, there's so many things that can happen to your cat. Overall, the cats that we see that are older, so I'm talking older, maybe 14, 16, 18, 20, are not primarily outdoor cats. Now, do we see cats that are that age that do go outside? Yeah, but they're primarily inside kitty cats. So
yeah, and I know everybody feels bad about keeping your cat mm-hmm. inside, but I can at least for my cat, he's never been outside, so he somewhat, would you say, doesn't know what he's missing. But I do think it is a challenge if you want to try to allow your cat to go out and then change your mind.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah. So once a cat gets a taste of the outdoors, they're never going to stop bugging you. It's like freedom.
Freedom.
And there is an argument to say that cats are meant to go outside. They are meant to explore the environment. They are meant to do that. I disagree. I think that.
I do, too, sadly.
I think that there's a lot to say about keeping your kitty cats inside and still giving them a very, very happy, fulfilling life. And if you need some more information, you can always ask your vet, because we have a lot of resources on where to send you that can give you information on
like
how
on enrichment
to,
and things.
Yes, yeah. And how to enrich your indoor cat.
Yeah.
But yeah, once they get a taste of the outside, it's impossible to keep them in.
Freedom.
I have two cats and they're both old ladies and they have been inside their entire life. And I would be lying if I said they weren't extremely happy.
I have to second that. My cat has been inside his whole life. And I mean, as well as you can interpret a cat, I think he's pretty darn happy.
Yeah, Now, and if you are going to let your cat outside, kind of to start with, or to just emphasize what you said in the beginning, what I would recommend is putting a bell on them, putting a collar with a bell onto them.
Yeah.
You know, because there are some legitimate arguments for the fact that cats will negatively affect not only the bird population, and that includes all kinds of species of birds, but also like the small rodent and small animal population in a community and in a town.
Right.
And so
they are murderers.
They are. I mean, a lot of cats don't eat what they catch. No. I mean, that they're just out there hunting.
They're killers.
They're just killers. That's all they're going to do. And some people find it amusing and they say that's a cat's nature. Well, no, that's not really a cat's nature. That's actually not quite as accurate as people would like to think it. And so put a collar with a bell on your cat, and that'll at least
give the other populations a head fighting start. Chance.
A fighting chance. Yeah. Because it does actually negatively affect those populations of birds and other animals.
Yeah. And we're here to love everyone.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
I think so.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, this is a call-in show. If you have any questions for Dr. Foster, the number here is 963-2976. So any other, I mean, I know, you know, cats, I mean, one other I can think off the top of my head problem with an outdoor cat that is a hunter is like when they eat something bad. What is there something, is there any, talk to me about that and what people need to look for in that regard.
So when a cat, when they're going to eat that rodent or that fresh kill, whether it's a fresh kill, bird, rodent, whatever, or if they come upon a vole that has been deceased for several days and they decide, hey, this looks good, let me eat that for a snack.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, they can come up with a simple name. We call it bad bird syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our veterinary way of being like, oh, they ate something. And what happens is it can just make them sick.
So sick.
So sick. Some of them come in with a fever. Some of them come in having not eaten, not drank anything for days, throwing up. Sometimes they have diarrhea. I mean, they are just sick.
Yeah.
And whatever it is that they ate, what happens is that just, it can slowly be moving through their GI tract, making them sick. It can be partially obstructing their GI tract, mm-hmm. making them sick. It could just be releasing all kinds of icky toxins and bacteria. Whatever it is, the cat can potentially pass from that kind
of thing. Yeah, that's not something that will treat itself. Mm-mm. It won't go away on its own. That requires intervention.
Yeah, that is not a benign neglect kind of thing. That is something that's, hey, we should get them to a vet kind of thing. So that's another thing that we do see quite often enough that, I mean, we recognize it, we treat it, and the cat typically goes home and is a lot better. But we can see a lot of sick kitties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good information for the indoor-outdoor cat owner, just some things to think about. Obviously, if you're getting a kitten, the recommendation, at least sitting here in this room between the two of us, would be to keep your kitten inside and hope that it has a nice, healthy, long life. That being said, it's obviously up to you as the owner, but just knowing the risks is always important.
Mm-hmm.
Like to segue that whole sickness, maybe upset tummy, eating something bad thing into the dog world. And just a reminder, once again, call-in show, Dr. Foster here in the office, 963-2976. Any animal-related questions, give us a call. Dogs with upset tummies, I feel like this summertime, maybe this spring actually might be worse, but particularly spring, summer. Oh, look, we have a call.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, I have a question about using, it just slipped my mind.
It's all right.
It's an antiseptic. If you get a cut, you pour it in
Hydrogen peroxide. Yes. Oh, okay, good, good, good. Yep.
Yeah, so like on your cat, if they get an injury, is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, so if you know that your cat has been bitten by another animal, particularly a cat, you can certainly clean up the wound by using a little bit of hydrogen peroxide. Hydrogen peroxide is one of those things that it's actually really harmful to healthy skin, so we don't use it for wound care. Typically in veterinary medicine, that's not something that we use. I think it's better that if you know that the cat has had an injury I would clean it up with soap and water as much as you can. Depending on the cat, they may or may not allow you to do that. If it makes you comfortable to use a little hydrogen peroxide, sure, go ahead. Just be careful with how much you're using. And
not more than one time, right?
Yeah. I mean, we do worry that the healthy skin that's left, it can damage it. And then get him to a vet, because actually we can prevent that abscess from happening sometimes by kind of checking in on how you cleaned it up, maybe helping you along the way to clean it up even more and giving them antibiotics. And that is how we can partially prevent that, the big old abscess from happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it would go back to the abscess even if you use hydrogen peroxide.
Correct. Yeah. So that's potential. So that's what happens is, our wounds are made to heal. So the wound is going to heal up just fine because typically your cat is has that ability. But then the other cat or animal that bit your cat, mouths are not clean. Despite popular belief that dog and cat mouths are clean. They are not. They are dirty as all get out.
Oh, yeah.
They're extremely dirty. And so that cat has introduced bacteria into the wound. The wound closes over that bacteria, and then it forms an abscess. So and hydrogen peroxide is not an antibacterial type thing that is enough to necessarily kill the type of bacteria that's going to be introduced into that wound. So you certainly can clean it up with that, but there's no promise that that is going to be all it needs.
An antibacterial soap would probably be, like a hand soap would be better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would at least clean it with that and then just get them to a vet within 24 hours or, you know, do the best that you can based on your schedule. Mm-hmm. And then your vet will, appropriately treat it from there and hopefully prevent that big old abscess from happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Thank you so much, ladies.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Have a great day.
No worries.
Bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. So that's a great question. In regards to stomach stuff, summertime for dogs, I feel like we see a lot of acute diarrhea.
Yeah.
Is the outdoor and what the dogs are doing in the summertime, is there any place they shouldn't be going? Is it just a risk you take? Because, oh, look, we have another caller.
Good gravy.
Hi, thanks for calling. How can we help you?
Hi, this is Lee from Leadville. A lot of folks know me over there at the studios, and I tried to jump in there.
Great.
I know you're changing the subject, but...
But no, that's fine. Okay. We'll talk about anything.
My husband has two cats for quite a while. I think they're about 13 or so.
Great.
And this product, it's a collar that... It's birdsbesafe.com.
Interesting.
Safe.com.
Okay.
And it's a cat collar cover that goes over their collar, and it, we call them clown collars because it's gathered.
Uh-huh.
And it has really worked a lot for his cats in them not getting the birds.
Oh.
They still get the ground critters, but uh-huh. It alerts the birds. I think it's the colors.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it looks like it's a little gathered collar. It's pretty funny, actually.
That's super cool, though. Okay, that's really good to know. I wasn't aware. Were you aware of that, Dr.
No, I was not. That's awesome. I appreciate you guys
doing
that.
Fill that out?
No, I think birdsbesafe.com is what we've got.
Oh, yeah, I got it. We got it pulled up on a phone here. That's pretty cool.
And that is super cool.
And just somebody needs a little clippy collar inside,
right, gathered on there.
It has really helped reduce his cats when they go out in the summer.
Right, what they can get a hold of.
That's awesome. Thank you for that recommendation.
That's wonderful. Yes. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that's really good information.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was out there.
Very cool.
That's super cool.
Awesome.
So I'm sure everybody heard that, but birdsbesafe.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Yeah, in regards to summer GI distress in dogs, mm-hmm. is there any place you should prevent your dog from going, or do we just say go for it? It's the risk you take. And what complications are dogs seeing, like with GI stuff, particular to the summertime?
Yeah, so good question. So particularly right now, we are seeing a lot of GI distress. And that includes vomiting and diarrhea, mostly in dogs, and inappetence, so not eating.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it depends on how you look at it. If you want to reduce any – well, actually, it's impossible to reduce – 100% reduce the risk of them picking it up, because honestly, they could pick it up in their backyard.
Right. And that's not, I mean, you might as well go have fun. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I more so look at it, let them have a reasonable amount of fun. Let them hike. Let them go to the dog park. Let them drink out of streams if that's your thing. Let them, mm-hmm. let them swim. Let them be dogs. But just be cognizant of the fact that these things can lead to a dog getting sick. And dogs are going to pick stuff up at the environment, particularly bacterial infections.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is they pick them up either by the in their mouths, or they can pick them up on their paws, and when they mm-hmm. come inside to groom, there you go. So you're not going to be able to 100% prevent it. But biggest suggestion, if you have a dog that stops eating and drinking, mm-hmm. Starts throwing up, starts having diarrhea, don't let that go.
Now, how long does one wait before yeah. they go to the doctor?
So I would say, I think it's reasonable with a medium to larger breed dog, like 35, 40 pounds and up, to give it 24 hours.
And this is a young, healthy dog.
Yeah, young, healthy dog. Give it 24 hours. See if it clears up with maybe taking food away, maybe giving them some boiled chicken and white rice, mm-hmm. You know, kind of giving them some rest. Now, mm-hmm. I think it's reasonable to do that.
Sure.
For 24, 36 hours. If you have a smaller breed dog, which is, in my opinion, this is just in my mind, anything less than 30 pounds,
yeah.
I would address that immediately.
Or a senior.
Or senior dog, yes.
Or a puppy.
Or a puppy. Sorry. Beth is making very good points. I would not let that go. I would actually immediately bring them to the vet or yep. call your vet yep. and say, what do you think? Because those are the oh. dogs that decline quicker. We have another call.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
Hi, this is a totally different subject.
That's fine.
I'm a rabbit owner, have been since 95. I wish the vet, if she's familiar with rabbits, I know they're exotics even for small animal vets.
Well,
just some information about bunnies, because I know I just about lost a bunny last couple days to stasis, which I'm very familiar with and oh. generally treat. It comes right out of it. But people don't seem to know that the bunny quits eating it quite often. They have gas, and I don't know how to treat it. And I just wish she'd put in some information about bunnies, how to feed them, and they should be kept in the house and not in a little cage and that kind of stuff. People don't seem to be familiar with them at all.
Oh, you're saying would we be willing to give some sort of public information about bunnies? And
right,
the best way to care for a bunny.
Sure.
Right, the best way to care for them, keep them in and feed them mostly hay and not many pellets, and signs to look for when they're not well. Because, like I say, I'm very familiar with stasis, but I almost lost this little guy.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't, too. A lot of rabbit things.
And I'm gonna let you go. And thank you so much for your call. And we'll see if Dr. Foster can maybe give a little info
okay.
on.
Yeah, I know they're pretty exotic. So I'm from Grand Junction. I'm slowly going through Glenwood Canyon right now.
Oh, good.
Oh,
okay.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
Well, thank you. And we'll you know, Doctor. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
okay. We'll do what we can.
Dr. Foster, you don't do exotics, but I think if you have any insight yeah. on uh-huh. maybe the appropriate housing and care for a bunny, go for it. Whatever
yeah.
you got.
Yeah. So I am not an exotic vet by any means. I do have some experience with exotic animals. I do think that we have a couple of other people around here who are better to address these issues in exotic animals. What I do know is that majority of a rabbit's diet should be hay and fresh vegetables, sometimes fruit. Foliage. And then the least amount of their diet should be like what people think that they should mostly eat, which is like the really pretty stuff that you get in the store in the bag.
Yeah, yeah.
That should be like a snack, like
gotcha.
A very small part of their
gotcha.
Diet. And yeah, a lot of what the caller said, a lot of rabbit issues have to do with GI things. A lot of rabbit issues have to do with husbandry,
right.
which means what you feed them, how you house them, and how you kind of treat them in general. So
I mean, they should have big pens.
They should have big.
Right?
They should have big old pens. They
yeah,
should
I mean,
be allowed to be exercised. There's nothing wrong with keeping them outside as long as it's an appropriate enclosure, and they're protected from predators.
So inside and outside
yeah,
spaces.
I mean, I think that's my opinion. But again, I'm not a rabbit owner and I'm not a rabbit veterinarian.
Sure.
I do have a pretty solid base of information. But
it sounds like, you know, maybe I think the biggest thing to say is before you get any pet, even if it's just a little rabbit. No, make sure we're taking care of it appropriately. You know, contact a exotics vet or a vet of any type of animal you're going to get and make sure you're doing the absolute best you can. It doesn't mean it's just a rabbit. It's just a guinea pig. I mean, they need certain things to keep themselves healthy and happy and live a good, healthy life. Yeah. So, I mean, I think just researching before you get something and giving it the best care you can is super important.
And finding a vet before you get it that can care for that type of animal, yeah, I think is really important.
We frequently get frantic exotic calls because, you know, you have a bird that you've had for 4 years and you've never taken it to the vet and now it's ill and you don't know where to go and there's only one exotics vet in town. You don't know her number. So trying to be aware of that kind of stuff before you get any animal is important.
Absolutely.
You know, back to the GI stress with dogs and any other calls. By the way, the number here is 963-2976. So GI stuff with dogs. When they need to bring them in, we were saying 24 hours for a healthy young dog.
Yeah.
Anything that's senior or puppy or under 30 pounds. They wait for how long?
I would address it as soon as you can, really. I mean, unless it's one of those things where you're like, oh, I know that he ate whatever. Yeah. I know that he ate a piece of chicken that was really rich, and maybe I'll give it 12 to 24 hours to see. I think that's reasonable. But again, if you're not sure, if what in heaven's name could they have gotten into? Yeah, gosh, we did go on a hike, or maybe we didn't go on a hike. But if they are lethargic, if they are throwing up or have diarrhea, if they are not eating, I mean, I would address that immediately. At least call the vet. I know a lot of veterinarians around here are very, very open to at least giving advice to their staff to give to people over the phone.
Sure.
Our staff at our hospital, I know, is very trained, and they are very comfortable talking with people, and so at least call, at least ask, because
I feel like you can get behind the eight ball, so to speak, really fast when you're talking about vomiting, diarrhea, and then, you know, I think a lot of people, oh, I don't want to take them in, it's going to be so expensive, but really the extra cost is going to come when you bring a very sick dog in, because now they're so sick they need to stay.
I mean, I it makes me sad when I hear of a dog that has been not eating with throwing up and or diarrhea for up to 5 days, seven days.
5 to 7 days.
I mean, can you imagine if that's how you felt for 5 to 7 days?
No.
And so, you know, I think that we have an opportunity to get them in a lot sooner. And so it's just something to think about.
I think the last thing, because we only just have a couple minutes left that I want to talk about, seems to be a hot topic these days, is marijuana. You know, there was a big influx of toxicity from marijuana we've always seen it, but right when weed became legal here in the state of Colorado. And now I think it's not quite as pop. It is kind of back to where it used to be. But talk about the signs, symptoms of a toxicity of marijuana, and also, you know, just any facts or comments on that.
Yeah, so when a dog gets into marijuana, and it can be eating, you know, a discarded joint.
Yeah.
It could be eating discarded ash. Right. It could be eating an edible. It could be anything.
Yeah.
When a dog gets into that, the signs that we usually see vary from being kind of hyper aware of their environment, kind of very, very lethargic. They can be very, very ataxic or kind of drunk, uneasy on their feet. A lot of the dogs will be leaking urine. That is one of the classic signs. That's not something we see in all of them, but that's a classic sign. Hyperesthesia, or kind of just like really
jumpy,
thank you, is a very common way that they react. Bring them in.
And don't be, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think it's important to say, because I've sat in a room with many a weed toxicity, and I feel like I don't be embarrassed or ashamed or, you know, even if it wasn't legal here, we don't care. We're not cops.
No, we're not the cops.
We don't care Mm-mm. what it is. We just need to know what it is.
Yeah. So we do not care. Nope. I will not call the cops
nope.
on you.
Nope.
I am not the cops. I have no interest nope. in knowing what they ate other than if it,
helps it
was
us
marijuana.
Fix them.
It helps us get to the bottom of it right. quicker. It helps us know what to do.
Right. So bring them in and expect that we can help you at least in some way.
Yes, absolutely. We just want to help the dog.
Yeah. You know, I think that those are really important things. And even if you don't have or are not a user of marijuana, we see dogs get into other people's trash. We see mm-hmm. there was that really weird article in the paper about human feces, which I don't even know if we
oh,
should
touch
on. Oh,
goodness gracious. I yeah. didn't even hear about that.
You didn't
that.
Hear about
no.
that? Yes, there was some skepticism that dogs were getting into mm-hmm. human feces and the person had consumed some type of THC. I'm skeptic on that, but yeah. nonetheless,
regardless.
You don't have to be the one using it no. For them to find it.
Yeah, you don't.
No.
You don't.
Well, thank you, Dr. Foster, for coming in.
Hey, no
and
worries.
That concludes our show, Ask the Vet, and we will see you next third Thursday of every month.